Welcome to the Bible Tribe. I'm Denise Bass with Seeing Deep Ministries, where we see deep in a shallow world and overcome the battles of the mind with the Word of God. Well, hey, you guys, I circled back last week to recap week 8 after taking 2 weeks off for my dissertation, but I'm going to skip those weeks 9 and 10 and move forward with where we are now in the Bible reading plan, week 11. Time is flying by. If you've missed some days, that does not mean you are behind. Go at your pace. Just being in God's Word renews our minds and orients our lives back to God. This week's reading included the story of Joseph in Genesis 41 through 44, the story of Ruth, and we finished the book of Isaiah, Psalms 25 through 27, Job 21 through 22, and we began the book of Mark and 1 Corinthians 7 and 8. This week offers a fresh perspective about afflictions that we face. Do you ever feel discouraged because what you envision for your life is far from your reality? It might be hard times that you have encountered or broken relationships. Joseph understands. And we can learn so much from observing the life and character of Joseph through all he suffered and God's purposes in it all. In the life of Joseph, we have already seen from our previous readings from last week that even when our plans lie dormant and appear to be dead, God is always working behind the scenes to bring about his purposes. Joseph had a dream. We all do. But it is so hard to keep going forward when people or circumstances come against us. And when it seems like they succeeded in snuffing out our dreams, what then? Look at Joseph's path. As Joseph became a slave, God moved him to serve Potiphar. Mind you, scripture says God was with Joseph and Joseph was a slave. I think we have the perception that God with us means no hardship, but it is God with us in the hardship that differentiates us from the world. We will all go through hardship that crushes our dreams, but in Christ, our vision is never lost, for God redeems our pain and suffering and uses it even for our good and his glory. I don't know how God does it, but I believe it. And I have seen it. How about you? But God with Joseph did not mean Joseph would not suffer. Joseph was falsely accused and thrown into a prison for doing the right thing. He refused to commit adultery with Potiphar's wife, and she lied about it. But scripture says God was with Joseph in that prison and blessed him. God was with Joseph in the pit. God was with Joseph when he was sold into slavery. God was with Joseph when he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. And God was the one who elevated Joseph for his purposes. What pit are you in right now? Does it feel like God has forgotten you? No, it is impossible for him to do so. Joseph's story reminds us that affliction is a part of life, whether at the hands of other people's attacks on you or just life circumstances, living in a fallen world. And whatever Joseph did, God was with him and God was in Joseph, as it says in Genesis 41, verse 38. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" The afflictions of this life are training ground for God's purposes so he can use us. Do you know that God is with you right now in whatever prison that you might be experiencing? It might be a prison in your mind or a prison in a relationship that feels impossible. God is with you. And if you are in Christ, God is in you. Time and again, Joseph's vision failed. Everyone let him down. His brothers let him down. Then Joseph was used to prophesy and explain the visions of his fellow prison mates. He thought maybe they would help him to get out of prison, but they forgot Joseph too for 2 years. Then the cupbearer remembered that Joseph could interpret dreams. Let's look and see how Joseph responds now after all he has suffered. Genesis 41, verses 15 and 16. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you, that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." The affliction Joseph suffered shaped him, and his suffering was not meaningless. Next week, we will see the point of it all. So in the character of Naomi next in the book of Ruth, the affliction and suffering of loss caused her to accuse and doubt God. In Ruth 1 verse 13, she said, "The Lord is afflicting me." In Ruth 1 20, she said, "The sovereign Lord has treated me very harshly." In verse 21, she said, "The Lord has opposed me and the sovereign one has caused me to suffer." Naomi's belief that God was afflicting her was built on a misunderstanding of who God was and his character. It is perhaps ironic that she calls God the sovereign one, yet misses in that moment that he was indeed sovereign and providential over her circumstances. Naomi defined herself by her suffering, saying to others who knew her as Naomi that they should just go ahead and call her Mara, a symbolic name of Naomi taken from the word mar, meaning bitterness, anguish, a mental state of great intense distress. The affliction Naomi encountered made her bitter, and it altered her vision of God. But the providential, sovereign hand of God was for Naomi, as God incidences, not coincidences, began to pave the way to redemption. In the book of Isaiah, the word of the day was afflicted. Isaiah 63 verse 9 says, "Through all that they suffered, he suffered too. God sees your suffering. He weeps with you. He is not powerless to save you. And his intervention happens in his timing for your best and his glory." Do you believe that? God disciplines those he loves, and the afflictions of this life are not due to a harsh God, but a loving one. As a parent, I don't like to discipline my kids. I never like to. But a loving parent would not let their children remain in sin. Isaiah 63:10 says that God's people were rebelled against God despite God's love for them. In our reading Isaiah this week, we saw that God delights in his people in Isaiah 62 verse 4, and he rejoices over them in verse 5. This is God's heart toward us. But we will suffer in this life. Don't let affliction blind you to the goodness of God. The psalmist reminds us that even as we walk through despair and hardship, we still have hope. Psalm 27, 13 and 14 says, "I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. God and his goodness is our hope, not a perfect life void of pain. And in the book of Job, we see someone who, despite all his suffering and afflictions, he questions to seek to understand. But sometimes we can't understand in the moment. We can learn something from Job's friends, though, who did not grieve with Job and did not know how to comfort him while he was afflicted. Our consolation of others should not dismiss their pain or their suffering or minimize it or accuse them as Job's friends did. We should point others to Christ in their suffering. In the Gospel of Mark, the suffering of our Messiah begins with people coming against him, who he came to save. The scribes came against Jesus in Mark 2, verse 8, and it says that Jesus realized in his spirit that they were contemplating such thoughts. He said to them, "Why are you thinking such things in your hearts?" People will come against us too when we walk closely with Christ. They will malign us like they did Jesus, but we don't have to think like they do. Notice that Jesus called out their wrong thinking. Other people's mindsets don't have to become ours. Small-minded people talk about people, but we need to speak about kingdom purposes. We are only afflicted by other people's words if we submit to their words and perspectives. When our life is not about us, but about Jesus, people can say whatever they want to say about us. The momentary affliction of other people's putting us down can actually serve in a good way to humble us and keep us focused on what matters most, not man's opinion, but God's. In 1 Corinthians, we are reminded that we were purchased by God with his own blood. We belong to Jesus. Whatever affliction we go through, we know that a good God sees and he will take care of us. 1 Corinthians 7:23 says, "You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Fear God, not man and his opinion." I think how we think about affliction reveals things about our hearts. 1 Corinthians 8:2 says, "If someone thinks he knows something, he does not yet know to the degree that he needs to know." I've said many times in the process of writing my dissertation that I don't know how much I don't know, but I'm learning such beautiful truths, and I'm so grateful for God's understanding. He wants to give us understanding in our affliction. When we are afflicted, we don't know what God is doing. We will need to trust God and in our affliction, cry out to Him. Don't let affliction embitter you like it did Naomi. Let affliction do its work and let others around you see Christ in you in your suffering. Your character will change as Joseph's did, and none of your suffering is ever in vain. We cannot avoid affliction in this life, but we do have ever-present help from God, who will use everything we suffer for His good and our glory. For His glory and our good. Go with God, friends. I pray whatever affliction you are encountering right now, that you will see it in the light of the cross. Your story isn't over yet, and your God is for you and in you and has never forgotten you.